Got something on your mind? Tell Lisa all about it. 203-333-9422. It's the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Wayne Winston joins us now for our weekly segment on race. And I think it's very fitting that we talk about what's happening in Minnesota, because so many of the truly cataclysmic changes that have happened in this country over the last year really started with the terrible video that was exposed of the I Can't Breathe video of the law officer Derek Chauvin as he pressed downwards on the neck of George Floyd in a situation that all, particularly police officers in our area, thought was just a huge abuse of police power. And so the jury was selected. The trial is continuing. There have been various different stories about reports about it. In fact, today in the front page of the Times, it said that Chief Madaria Arredondo gave testimony on Monday, and the fact that a police chief would take the witness against a fellow officer is exceedingly rare, but he's the chief of the Minneapolis Police Department, and he condemned the actions of Derek Chauvin. Joining us right now is Wayne Winston, who is an active member of the NAACP in our area and an active member in general on behalf of rights of black people and equity and diversity in our community. Welcome back to the show, Wayne. Hello and good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa. I hope everyone had a great couple days. And this is a very difficult time. And it's still hard for me to watch the, the George Floyd case. And it's kind of heart wrenching. It's as a human being. Forget about whether you're a police officer or not. I just want your audience just think, if you're laying on the floor and you put both of your hands behind you, imagining you had handcuffs on, and you could turn your head to the right or to the left, whatever feels even comfortable. And imagine someone with their knee on your back, let alone your neck. How soon would you be uncomfortable? And realizing that the neck, and I'm now no expert, it's a very vulnerable passageway to cut off your air. And to have the weight of a man, if he's 5'5", or a woman for that matter, on that knee on your neck, it's just horrifying. And I'm an adult guy, and I'm hearing him, yell out for his mother. Men don't do that. They just
well. Not
don't.
Only that, you know what, Wayne? He was already handcuffed. I mean, this is what I find to be so remarkable. In other words, it's one thing, and I'm not excusing anything, but it's one thing heat of somebody who has an adrenaline rush and they're trying to run away from the law and they're not handcuffed yet. There can be a battle, right? To try and get control. Sure. But this man already had handcuffs on him. What else was he going to do? Get up and run? I mean, what was he going to do? He wasn't going to hurt. He had handcuffs on him.
And that's what's hard to watch. Again, it's like he was already subdued, and you can feel, where's humanity, and again, I'm not on the jury, but there's something wrong with that guy. There's something wrong with him as a human being, and people like him that can just watch someone in agony, and you can feel when somebody's breathing underneath your knee. It's a very, and they stop. I mean, so that's, again, what makes it difficult to watch. And that's what's happening to the people that are in the observing this thing happening right in front of them, and they're saying, the martial arts experts, the black gentleman turns out to be that. And he's telling them, from his experience, how important it is, the way that he saw him laying and the way that his knee was on, that was like the death move. And he explained that, from a layman's turn, they try to debunk that, but it still stands. The female, the fireman, and she calls the fire department on him. It's like, where are the people that are coming to help this man? She wanted to give him, help him with CPR, and they wave her off. We've got somebody coming. It's just, there's so many things that are wrong, and court plays out based upon facts and so on. And I really hope that we find a way that the jury can get past the line of seeing an officer as a deity. With all due respect to all the officers are out there that I know personally and the ones that I don't, you know, we're all human beings. We can be guilty of wrong things. And whatever that catalyst was, racism, indifference, combination, you know, nobody's life should be taken like that. And it's a time, you know, if this is not enough for a conviction for taking another human being's life, I don't know what would be. So,
you know what, Wayne? I do want to play a little bit of a cut. We've got a cut from the trial. Andrew, let's play cut three. This is apparently an expert for the prosecution on the use of force.
As levels of resistance increase, that officer's response and also increases.
And similarly, as levels of resistance decrease, what should the officer do?
You should de-escalate use of force as well.
You were asked a series of questions about whether this is appears to be a trained Minneapolis neck restraint.
Yes, I was asked that.
And you said no.
No.
Correct.
Correct.
But it is you hedged a little bit and said it may be some other training.
Perhaps.
What would that training be?
Using body weight to control. However, I will add that we tell officers to stay away from the neck when possible, and if you're going to use body weight to pin, to put it on their shoulder and be mindful of position.
There are circumstances, are there not, where an officer can continue to hold a person in a neck restraint after rendering someone unconscious?
Hold somebody? Yes.
And for a period of time, correct?
Yes, sir. You can have your arm around their neck for a period of time. Yes.
And there would be circumstances that would affect an officer's decision on whether to hold that person in that position for some period of time, correct?
Yes, sir.
That would include maybe waiting for other officers to arrive?
Yes, sir.
So that was some of the question of the trial yesterday. That was a Lieutenant Johnny Mercel who was testifying at the trial yesterday of Derek Chauvin. And he is a police instructor. And that was a little bit from the cross-examination. So that was actually you were hearing the expert that was brought by the prosecution being cross-examined by defense counsel. So have you been following the trial, Wayne? Winston, have you been following the trial?
Yes and no, and I'm being honest here. It's hard, especially in this part here. And I know there's things that have to be discussed. I read some of the stuff after. I look at the highlights. You know, the people testifying, the black gentleman who's telling him, you know, hey man, you can't win. He's like, no, I'm not trying to win. You know, that whole thing with the mother, I can't say this enough. Men don't do that. That's desperation. That's when you know you're going to leave this planet. And we've seen this before with Eric Garner that happened in New York. When people are begging for their lives, you know, you got to pay attention. You know, and even the young man who called the police because of the counterfeit bill, you know, they're discussing that, you know, they think he didn't know it was counterfeit, wherever it came from, rather than he's running some counterfeit ring. And he feels terrible that he made the call. So,
yeah, I know. A lot of the bystanders and onlookers have a lot of trauma associated with what happened, including the person who originally called the police on George Floyd. That's true. There's a lot of people who feel guilty about their unwitting part in all of this. That we're seeing a lot of that testimony during the trial.
Even the young lady who recorded it, who was under 18, she was underage, and she talks about how she had nightmares and how she cried because she felt she should have done something, but she did the best thing that she could do. Had this not been recorded, Lisa, this would be a different trial. And it's unfortunate to say, but we've seen it over and over and over. This is about not the great policeman that we know, not the great policing that is done. There are just some people that are just in whatever profession, whether they're doctors or attorneys or janitors or whatever. They're just terrible at their jobs, and some just don't care, and they're mindless about a life. And for me, that's what we have here. It's kind of like that OJ trial, similar but different now, where people feel there should be a conviction and feel very strongly about it one way or the other. So the black community across this country is saying this is the litmus test for the American justice system if we can actually convict a law enforcement officer with something that triggered the largest protest since the civil rights movement across the world, not just America, because people saw something wrong. I pray that that happens, but stranger things have happened historically. We don't win when we sue the police departments or when officers do things like that. No matter what details come out that something was hidden from them or some evidence wasn't presented or, you know, they did something that was doctored, we usually have to go to the civil. And
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. It will be a very cataclysmic, shaking event if Derek Chauvin is acquitted per se. Do you think, Wayne Winston, knowing and having your finger on the pulse of a lot of black activists in our area, I mean, he's been tried on a greater and a lesser kind of a crime. If he's convicted of something that shows reckless disregard for human life, malice, even if it isn't the highest level, do you think that will satisfy the black community?
You know, if I'm his family, and that's really what we're talking about, if I'm his family, I know what I would want for him. I think if it was any individual listening, what you would want based upon what you saw, it was abhorrent to anyone that has any humanity. They would want him to face the ultimate penalty, whether it's the death penalty, whether it's life imprisonment. But it's got to be something meaningful if there's some technical thing, because the law rolls that way. That's meaningful for a sentence, not a slap on the wrist, you know, 2 years or 5 years and then you're up for probation.
Gotcha.
It's got to send a message. It's got to send a message that a life is worth something, which is what Black Lives Matters means, that this black life mattered and those like him mattered, whether it's Amari Marbury or Breonna Taylor. You just can't sit on somebody and kill them. And we see it over and over and over and over again. And it's why and even, you know, my white friends that they get it. It's like there's something wrong when we keep seeing black men killed by police across the country, whether it's Kenosha or Las Vegas. You had a homeless man we talked about on the show here, and he's standing at the corner, and the police have a whole dialogue on their body cam about whether they should stop him, and they wind up killing the homeless man.
I know.
It's just like,
what is
our lives worth? What I mean, and this guy is just minding his own business, and what he said at the end, it's about control. They get up and they're militarized and they want to control the situation. We got to control this guy right here. So if he doesn't pay attention, do what we want us to do, we'll do what we got to do. And if he pays with his life, so be it. And that's what we're fighting across this country. That's what we're trying to hold police departments accountable, so the good ones can do their job and not have a Serpico situation where they are chastised and demonize and worry about whether they're going to get coverage because they didn't hold up the blue lie, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to be conscious that that exists, and the good
Al Pacino
have to be able to.
Al Pacino, Attica.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Al Pacino.
Yes.
By the way, part of this, which is interesting, is Officer Nicole McKenzie, who is for the Minneapolis, she is the police department's medical support coordinator. She actually testified for the prosecution. One of the issues was that one of the things the defense is saying is that they didn't have to do CPR on George Floyd because there were onlookers and bystanders and they were interfering in, you know, crowd control, and therefore they were distracting them from whatever. They used it as an excuse. And she said, she's from the Minneapolis Police Department, she said that they had an obligation to do CPR on him as soon as they could see that he was in distress, regardless of whether or not they were being taped, regardless of onlookers, regardless of waiting for an ambulance, that she testified that he had a duty to start trying to revive him when he passed out. I think that's going to be very important for the jury.
I agree. Listen, and nobody knows he's passed out better than the person who is sitting on his neck for 9 minutes. You can measure someone's moving, not moving. You'd have to be a stone cold idiot to not know. So that's why it's difficult to watch, because in America found it difficult to watch. And I'm very proud of white America and brown America and black America who got out there and said, there's something wrong and we got to fix this system. This cannot exist. This cannot happen again. And we are in a tipping point right now where even corporations are becoming responsible, and they're looking at how we deal and look at black people in general and how these things can be an issue right now and how it affects our families. And if you want to have a world where black people are in harmony and more so, you have to understand and have compassion for that. Because from day one, this whole thing is just about how you treat black people with humanity.
Wayne Winston, just stay there. We'll be right back. We've got some messages. We're going to be right back. We'll get Wayne's view on what happened on Monday night in Trumbull. It's a story we've been covering about their edit committee on equity and diversity. And also, I want to get into the story of the Asian woman and the consequence of what happened to that poor Filipino woman who was wantonly attacked by a criminal, by a guy who shouldn't have been out on the streets. And what happened when the doormen ignored it and they turned their back on her. So we'll be right back with more of this. The Lisa Wexler Show coming right up.
Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
I love your show. It's not only entertaining, but a public service.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. We are chatting with Wayne Winston. We're catching up on some of the more controversial stories involving race in our community. Wayne, we've been covering pretty intensively what happened with the edit committee and the meeting on Monday night. And it was reported to us that Tara Figueroa remains the chair and that, in fact, the town council of Trumbull supported her. But, Wayne, and to me, this is a very big but there's no timetable for actually filling the committee with any seats. So right now it can't meet, it doesn't meet, and it can't do anything.
Well, that part is true. And I want to congratulate the town committee from the standpoint that they're moving to a visible aspect of support. Is it 100% the way we like? No, I was on the call. And part of what the whole catalyst was, which to the degree they were trying to avoid, was the whole atmosphere this country was in with George Floyd. The issue that incensed everyone actually happened on July the 15th of 2020, when this whole thing happened with these children, 14-year-old girl, 15-year-old boy, 15-year-old girl, during this whole George Floyd protesting, grabbed flags, took them from people's lawns that had paid for them, and they got 13 of them, and they put them online because that's their way of showing the protest. You know, as an activist, we know that it was co-opted by white supremacist groups, and so they felt they were doing their duty, which was obviously wrong to take the flags. The teaching moment is reaching out and saying, hey, kids, what the heck are you guys doing? And this is not a good thing. And, you know, let's talk. And the police departments can talk and reach out to them in a way that you have the discussion. Instead, the residents, there's residents there, and they're all screenshots and everything. These horrible things they're telling the kids they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and so on. They prosecuted them. So their parents had to go to court. One of them got 13 counts of sixth-degree larceny. I mean, so, again, that's a teaching moment that went by. And reflecting upon that, it's, again, where George Floyd and all these things are happening. So Tara, who is not even – there's no edit committee at this moment. You know, she's seeing these kids. It's like, boy, you guys are really going in on these kids. They're calling gorillas, all kind of crazy stuff. And she's like, hey, listen, that flag, you know, if you want a Confederate flag, just put one out. You know, just don't fool around, because that is what happened. Now, she realized very quickly, man,
very quick,
read
Wayne,
that wrong.
Wayne, we've only got about a minute.
Okay.
I just want to just come up. So we've got I know, because we've really been talking about these facts. But town council met on Monday. I consider it to be what I call a Pyrrhic victory, which is to say, you know, yes, she's there as a chair. But if the committee can't do anything, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me to be much of a victory if they don't fill the slots. They need to fill the slots so the committee can get on with their work. Okay.
That's what we're hoping for, because the committee is great, doing great work. We found that out. And hopefully they'll be able to get that together shortly. That's the pressure, because she was doing an amazing job by everybody that saw it with glowing reviews. So we're hoping that winds up in the right spot.
Well, that's really good news. Wayne Winston, we've run out of time. We always do. I'm sorry about that. But I want to thank you for joining us today. And thanks for catching us up on what's happening with the George Floyd trial in Minneapolis. And we're going to be watching that very closely, too, because I think the outcome is something that all of America is going to take a great interest in. Wayne Winston, have a great week. We'll chat with you next Wednesday.
You also.
Paul Pacelli up from 2 to 6 here on WICC 600 and WICC600.com. And I'll be back behind the mic tomorrow.